Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
In terms of him being let go, unfortunately, I just think it's a component of today's sport culture. And so, you know, there have been many examples of that. And so it's unfortunate, but I'm sure that he is going to move on. And if he chooses to coach again, I'm sure he will. And I'm sure he'll be very successful at doing so. But more than anything, I just think it's, you know, a larger example of today's sport culture in terms of, you know, not a lot of patience in the entertainment component of what it is that we do. There's just not a lot of longevity. You know, I'm sure we all would like to be Don Shula and Tom Landry, but I think those days are gone.
Well, that's the longest tenured coach in the NFL saying all that stuff. 19 years on the job. Mike Tomlin on the Rich Eisen show talking about John Harbaugh losing his job after Sunday's loss. And we were talking yesterday about Tomlin. Could that have been him if Tyler Loop makes the field goal? And who we have on yesterday from the AP?
Will Graves.
But Will made it sound like even if they had lost, he would have possibly kept his job two days ago.
Been hearing that from many of the Pittsburgh beat
writers.
Yeah,
Ryan Wilson said it yesterday, too.
So it was Graves on Tuesday. We kept hearing that all year long. Even when the going was tough, the fans were chanting to fire him.
During Renegade, which is like their theme song.
Yeah. If you ask the Steelers fan, I don't think they like it anymore. I think they're done. But, hey, change it up. 18 years is a long time. 19 years is even longer. I think it, you know, Tomlin's comments there, it's clear as day. Everyone's already pointed it out that it's because him and Harbaugh have been pretty much joined at the hip through their entire careers. They've been compared to one another. So now when one of them gets fired, immediately the conversation is, all right, when's the next shoe going to drop? When's the other half going to split? So he's trying to preserve himself. I would say, look, you can compliment Harbaugh and show respect as an adversary without making an absolutely asinine comment as the teams move on too quick when we're talking about a guy who's been around for 18 years.
Yeah.
That's not even remotely part of the conversation here. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah, and you mentioned tied to the hip, and I think it is kind of fitting that the last game that Tomlin and Harbaugh coached against each other, at least in Ravens-Steeler world, was for a playoff spot and job security on the line.
And but was decided by 3 points or less, but pretty much all of their games.
To your point, he's talking about a guy with 19 years service, talking about a guy with 18 years service, talking about how it's a what have you done for me lately league and teams moving on. I mean, they're part of two of the most stable franchises in professional sports. What baseball manager has been around for 19 and 18 years? Or NBA, NHL, where they fired it like changing socks in the college landscape where coaches kind of dip out whenever they feel it's necessary. And I respect Mike Tomlin greatly, but John Harbaugh's probably the wrong example to make to try to prove whatever that point was he was trying to make.
Well, I think it shows he's feeling the heat a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, by no means is Tomlin an insecure man, or should he be? I would hope not. When you're 19 years into your career, I think you would feel at least somewhat stable. But, you know, he knows the reality that he has to win a playoff game because, all right, forget the Super Bowl appearances from earlier in his career, the Super Bowl ring. You said, what have you done for me lately? Nothing out of there, unless you count, you know, finishing above 500 every year as doing something. I mean, for the team with the most Super Bowl trophies in league history, I would think that that's not enough.
All right, let's get out to the phones. Your thoughts on what Mike Tomlin said yesterday, Rich Eisen. We've been asking you the question, Nolan and myself, along with Mike Pope, Vinny and Haney, here on this Total Request Thursday. Do you want an offensive-minded coach or a defensive-minded coach, head coach, to replace Harbaugh, who doesn't necessarily delegate? If the going gets tough, Nolan, does the defensive-minded coach get in there and say, stand aside, I'm calling plays on offense as well, where John Harbaugh, he can decide, hey, I want to go for it here, and why in the bleep are we doing a rotation at running back? Get Derrick Henry's ass out on the field, that sort of thing. Let's go to Josh in Parkville. Josh, thanks for holding. What's happening?
How you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call.
What's going on?
So I think, obviously, like offense with Lamar, it would be fantastic. But I really think bringing in a defensive-minded head coach would be really beneficial to this team. Because I feel like in the past few years, we've lost this type of attitude, like play like a Raven. And like put your hand in the dirt and run through somebody. Get to the quarterback. And we really didn't do much of that at all. And watching throughout the season of Zach Orr's very loose coverage and kind of allowing receivers to get off the line of scrimmage so easily, it really kind of like showed like no one was really scared of us. And I know Marlon Humphrey spoke about how no one's really scared of us. I don't know why anybody would be scared of him. He gets burnt quite frequently. After he said he ran the fastest time he ever had in training camp, man coverage just wasn't a good thing with him at all. But I really think like bringing a defensive-minded head coach in the AFC North can really like rejuvenate this defense, because there are really good talented players on this team. But defense wins championships. And like if we get a stop in Pittsburgh on defense, we win that game. If we get a stop against New England, we win that game. If
Buffalo,
the list goes on and on. Buffalo, I mean, that was just like we should have known this was coming after that. Obviously, you don't want to think that way, but the situation is what it is. And like a coach like Anthony Weaver that's been here would be really cool. Robert Saleh would be really cool. But and I know a lot of people like Brian Flores, and I think Nolan spoke about it earlier, the clip of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Whitworth talking on their podcast about how the farther we get away from the Miami days, you kind of start to see like how you want them. But like if he's like burning bridges before he leaves, and the whole NFL thing, that's another situation. But just you don't really want someone coming in here and burning bridges after acting nice and very respectful at first. You kind of want a person that's who they are throughout their entirety. But I really think a defensive-minded head coach would be really nice, because we've had a turntable of really good defensive coordinators just leave. And it'd be really nice to just have someone stand pat and be really good. And unfortunately, Mike McDonald left. Great success. You can't do anything about it. But I really think a defensive head coach would be really beneficial to this team.
All right, Josh, thanks for the call. Made some good points there. And he referenced the Marlon Humphrey comment. And we can sit here and criticize Marlon Humphrey for his individual play, but Marlon wasn't wrong. And
that's
that was
years
before
old
the season.
Well, that was from like multiple seasons ago.
Yeah. No one fears us. Mm-hmm. Anymore was the mantra. And I guess 2023 was the most recent season in which they closely resembled a Ravens-like defense. And in the second half of 22, McDonald's first year, when they mm-hmm. traded for Roquan, because the first few weeks of his tenure, he sucks. They were blowing all these big leads at home, the Miami game, ironically enough. But since they traded for Roquan Smith and then Kyle Hamilton got his sea legs, for a year and a half, they were brilliant defensively. And then he leaves, 24 started poorly. Then they brought in, who came in to help? The old guy.
Dean Pease
came in. Then they brought Pagano in. So it was always like Zach Ward needed someone to help him. And as we said on Monday, boy, the Chuck Pagano hire turned out to be a big nothing burger when it was all said and done to begin with. So I'm hearing what he's saying about the defense, and I'm kind of leaning in that direction myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think the personality is key there when we're talking about defense. Recent Ravens history here, you know, maybe we're a little clouded by how bad Zach Orr was this year and the first half of last year, because obviously we hold Mike McDonald in high esteem.
He's gone chill all of a sudden.
As a DC here,
oh,
like
sure.
The results were there. They were great in 2023. They were good in 2022. You know, you talk about even Wink before him. You know, had the rough year in 21, but everyone was hurt. You had really nobodies in your secondary, but he had some good years where they were always top three, top five, at least in points allowed. So I don't think you're that far away from getting there. And a lot of the same players exist from those years still. I just don't know what the disconnect is. The feared comment, I think that comes back to personality. And I even look at someone like Roquan, like go back to 2023. Every opponent on the Ravens schedule, Roquan was like appointment press conference or locker room availability during the week, at least for me, because he was going to say something about the other team and was just say, yeah, they're pretty good, but we're a bunch of dogs. We're going to come in there and rip their face off, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, here we go. Like that's that Ray Lewis type stuff that we want. And then all of a sudden you start losing, your performance dips and we don't hear a peep. So it's kind of this almost front runner mentality that I think even when a Ray Lewis or a Ravens defense, when he was here, maybe wasn't at their best. They had a bad game or maybe a bad stretch of games. That bravado was still there. It didn't disappear because it wasn't fake. It was truly who he was. That's where I think it's not really a knock on Roquan. I just, people always say this thing like the Ravens defense needs dogs. Like they need guys that just aren't, you know, I don't know.
Wussies.
I don't know. Somebody's a little rough around the edges.
Yeah, like I think Terrell Suggs would do extracurriculars. Matthew Judon was a guy.
Right.
Matt Ibike.
Mm-hmm.
And Roquan himself. I mean, I don't see Kyle Hamilton being a soft player by any stretch of the imagination.
It's not all talk. It's a balance of talk and then actual physicality. And I do think some of where football is going, it pushes against that because you can't be like that old school Ravens defense where we're going to actually try to hurt you, you know.
Well, maybe you have to do it for a game just to send a message. And as Connie Corleone said in Godfather 3, now they will fear you. We'll come back. Let's fear the market or maybe praise it with buy or sell. Talk about sports subjects of the day. Hey, get back to your phone call. SportsTech 583-1057 is the number. Ravens are looking for a head coach. What kind of coach would you like to replace John Harbaugh? And ask this question that we asked yesterday. If you're looking for a head coach, would you hire John Harbaugh? It's Vinny and Andy, Bob, Andy, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope here on The Fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Are you buying?
Straight cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Brought to you by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation. Plus, get 0% interest for 5 years. Don't miss out. This offer ends soon, so schedule your quote right now at windownation.com.
Back to the phone calls coming up here in a matter of minutes. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Mike Pope, other side of the glass on Request Thursday. Got a lot going on in the world of sports. Got the college football playoffs tonight. Ole Miss taking on Miami in the Fiesta Bowl, a game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan. Terps lose last night, college hoops. They're winless in the Big Ten. Looks like it's going to be a long first year for Buzz Williams, but, you know, still 16 games left to get things straightened out. We're 5 weeks away, less than it seems, from pitchers and catchers. Are the Orioles going to bust another move for a starting pitcher? Keep seeing Ranger Suarez linked to the Orioles, so who really knows? We'll all follow together. Oh, by the way, the NFL playoffs start this weekend as well. But Nolan, will we have any money for drinking? You can't watch football without a cold beer in your hand, at least in the Haney house.
It's actually looking pretty decent today. We'll start with the bad. NASDAQ's down 111. Oh, S&P 500 is up 3. Dow Jones up 321. Under Armour's up 18 cents. DraftKings up $1.58. Big jump for them.
All right.
Start with sports topics with your Baltimore Ravens. We know they started the interview process today with Vance Joseph, at least a virtual interview. Many more head coaching candidates to come. They've got plenty of requests out there. But in a coaching cycle like this, you always want to move fast as possible. You don't want to get caught in that game of musical chairs where you're the team left without a seat to sit in. But as I mentioned earlier, this Harbaugh factor, really does shake up this year's cycle, make it a little more unique. It seems that some coaches that are currently in the playoffs could be dumped in favor of Harbaugh, depending on what happens here in the coming weeks. With that in mind, buy or sell, Bob, the Ravens should be a little more patient, wait and see if a bigger name becomes available.
I'll buy that, sure. Say Matt LaFleur gets cundiffed in Green Bay. They lose to the Bears. Another great haircut, by the way. I would be interested in what his interest would be, mutual. McDermott, defensive guy. Buffalo, if they lose, I saw stuff yesterday that he could be on the outs if the Bills fall short. I mean, that's it. They're like the Ravens. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're supposed to have cracked through this Kansas City barrier. And you don't think there's any more pressure on Josh Allen's got more pressure on him than any player in the playoffs on both sides. Hey, no Burrow, no Lamar, no Patrick Mahomes, no excuses. Even though it's probably the worst team he's had in the postseason. But yeah, I'm waiting. All that I'm waiting. Not long, but I'm waiting because, say, Denver and Seattle make the Super Bowl, the number one seeds. Neither one of those coaches is getting fired. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
But first round losers, there might be a couple of interesting names for sure.
How about one of these interesting matchups for the wild card round? Panthers and Rams, actually a rematch of a very exciting regular season game. If you remember a few months back, Carolina really the first team to throw Stafford and L.A. off their rhythm. A 31-28 thriller in the regular season. Stafford turned it over three times in that game and still had a shot to win it in the end. Bryce Young, though, very much outdueled him with three touchdowns and 200 yards in that game. But buy or sell, Bob, Bryce Young can outduel Stafford again and still lose.
Well, I'm selling that he'll outduel him. I'm buying that they're going to lose. I don't think Carolina scored 31 points since that game combined. That was a hell of a win for them. But as a team limped into the postseason any more than them the last couple of years, I think they get puffy pants. And Matt Stafford, they'll have Davante Adams back for that game. I think it's going to be struggle city for the old Panthers there. But commend them for making the playoff.
Big-time CFP matchup tonight. A great defense in Miami, fourth in the country in points allowed, versus a great offense in Ole Miss, 12th in the country in scoring. Ole Miss has only been held under 30 points twice this year, but this may be their toughest test yet, as Miami is generating turnovers, multiple in both of their CFP wins so far. Buy or sell, defense will reign supreme again. Multiple turnovers generated, and they hold Ole Miss under 30 points.
Wow, I'll buy that. Chambliss is a good player for the Rebels, but Miami's kind of on a roll. That's a team that was highly regarded in the preseason. Then, you know, had a couple of losses that, you know, Cristobal needed to explain away. And a lot of people thought they didn't even belong in the playoffs when it was all said and done. But they're kind of like in screw you mode and no longer playing with house money. When they beat Ohio State, it wasn't, hey, we're playing with house money. Now it's like we're trying to win a championship. Ole Miss is in the way, and I commend them, given all the drama with Kiffin for getting as far as they have. But I think their magical run comes to an end tonight in the Fiesta Bowl.
Just give us a good game. We can't do any of these stinkers that we got to witness in the last round. I mean, the Rose Bowl, that was pathetic.
The Oregon-Texas Tech game. Come on, man.
One more topic for today. Love a good redraft debate. At least I do. No matter the sport. But how about a redraft of one that just went down a few months ago? That's right. Adam Finkelstein.
Who?
Yes, that's a real person.
Who drafted him?
Adam. No. He's the writer. A 2025 NBA redraft.
Oh, boy.
Cooper Flagg still goes number one. Hard to argue against that. Knepel now goes 2, Edgecombe still at 3, Harper 4, Ace Bailey still locked in at 5, and finally, our guy, Derek Queen, would go at 6, which would have been the Wizards' pick, by the way. Oh, we can dream. We can only dream. Now, we're very high on Derek Queen for obvious reasons. Maybe a little biased, but nonetheless, he's the real deal and has gotten great instant results with very little talent around him. Are you buying or selling, though, that he would still have to wait to be 6th in line in a redraft if we did one today?
I will soft buy. I personally would take him over Ace Bailey.
Agree.
Out in Utah. Even though they have Markkanen, but Kessler's hurt. Filipowski's out there. So they have bigs. Ace Bailey, is he ever going to reach? Because he was pining to come to Washington when the Wizards were still doing what they were doing. Knepel's been outstanding. And Flagg's, you know, a generational player. Edgecombe's a stud. Dylan Harper, they got, you're making me think. You got Wemby already, but they could play off of each other because Queen, who's starting to hit threes occasionally. Nah, I would take Queen 4 ahead of Dylan Harper. So, yeah. It was a widely criticized draft pick because of the trade equity that Joe Dumars gave up to make it, but he's definitely first team all rookie. And yeah, redraft, top 5-6. Yeah, I'll buy that for sure.
And like I said, we can only dream. Him in a Wizards uniform, sticking around in D.C., so close to
home. Stop your whining, Nolan. They got Trey Young now. Come back, take your phone calls. 410-583-1057 is the number. Ravens head coaching search. What kind of coach would you like? And if you were hiring a coach, would you hire John Harbaugh? Jerry Coleman was Team Harbs when we had him on last hour. We've had a couple of days to reflect. I think we all agree it was probably time for a change, for change purposes. But, you know, John Harbaugh, I think, deserves respect. And
maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Give it to him. This weekend, also get his thoughts on the coaching carousel going on in the National Football League. Mike McDonald out, or McDaniel, excuse me, out in Miami, and maybe a couple more to go before it's all said and done. John Harbaugh's gone, we know that. The pursuit of his replacement very much happening in real time. What kind of coach would you want to replace him? Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Jason in East Baltimore. Jason, what's happening? Thanks for holding.
Hey, Bobby Nolan. Hello there.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, Bob, did I hear you say today was your birthday?
Yes, it is.
Happy birthday, bro.
26.
Congratulations. 26 years young, huh?
Yep.
Well, speaking of birthdays, yesterday was Lamar's birthday. And story, he posted some well wishes from his teammates. And he posted something from Isaiah Likely that say, happy birthday, GOAT. You know we go to war over you. And I was saying, that who they go to war with? So Ian Rappaport said that the beef wasn't between Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh. The beef was between Lamar Jackson and Todd Monken. Now, I don't know if it was over play calling or was Todd Monken the one that leaked all that stuff to Mike Preston, but it was so bad that Steve Bisciotti wanted John Harbaugh to fire Todd Monken. And when he wouldn't do it, he told he told John Harbaugh that this is my team and I want what Lamar wants. And even his staff was telling him not to fire John Harbaugh, but he did it. So it wasn't nothing. It was like knee-jerk. I guess they got heated with each other, and he did what he did. But I said this to say this. I said that to say this, that Ian Rappaport also said that Steve Bisciotti said he wanted a head coach that was innovative and that could bring out the best in Lamar Jackson. So that don't sound like a defensive-minded coach to me, in my opinion. I think Steve Bisciotti wants somebody that's going to be creative, somebody that's going to make the offense entertaining. So ultimately, an offensive-minded head coach. So in my opinion, I agree with Nolan. I want to see Clint Kubiak from Seattle, because what he did with JSN is remarkable. And he got Sam Darnold looking like a first-round pick, a lottery pick again. So that's my opinion. But I just wanted to bring that out there because I didn't hear too many people really going into depth what really happened. It was really over Lamar Jackson's relationship with Todd Monken.
All right, Jason. Yeah, no doubt. Thank you for the call. Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday that it was a Monken thing, not a Harbaugh thing, and Harbaugh was balking at getting rid of Monken, and he wanted to run it back with the entire coaching staff. And but what was it? Schefter disagreed with Rappaport's report that Harbaugh had lost the locker room and all of this, and Lamar hasn't come out and said anything publicly about Harbaugh. losing his job. I mean, there's a lot of things we can assume and a lot of insinuations, but who really knows? The only thing we know for a fact is John Harbaugh is the ex-coach of the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's the quarterback, and Eric DaCosta is going to have to hire a coach along with Steve Bisciotti, and he's going to have to renegotiate Lamar's contract to get this this cap hit
right
from $74.5 million.
Yeah, whatever the reason is, and I think it is starting to, we're putting all the puzzle pieces together. You take what Zarebic was saying publicly, combine that with what, you know, the Schefters and the Rappaports of the world have put out there, and then other context clues, and you try to put it all together and see what the reason really was. I don't know. I mean, it does seem the most likely that maybe the friction was between Monken and Lamar. But then my question would be, and this is to someone who's been a very adamant Lamar defender, you know, what's the beef there? Not really beef, but what is the reason for the friction? Because 23 and 24, you guys were on top of the world.
Yeah, and Lamar was given more freedom to do things.
That's the thing, right? I mean, I could understand him wanting to get away from Greg Roman for multiple reasons. Yeah, they had a good offense in that time, at times a great offense, but, you know, he outgrew that. And he had to clearly become or start working with an OC that was going to get the best out of him as a passer. And it was instant results with Monken in 23, to the point where I didn't think he could possibly be better than 23. And then he was. He was somehow even better in 24. So at that point, all right, maybe the bar was set so high that they were bound to regress in some ways. But to the point that they did this year, no, that was way too much regression. I roundabout way, I get back to this. What was Lamar's disconnect with Monken? Yeah. Was it coaching style? I know Monken's a little more old school, maybe a little more in your face, chew you out. But I don't think Lamar's, I mean, I would imagine his college coaches were pretty hard on him. I don't think he's a guy that can't handle that kind of coaching. You know,
Petrino was his dude at Louisville. But mm-hmm. Who were we talking to a couple of days ago? Gianna Hahn and mm-hmm. others saying that he was much more in tune, Lamar, with T. Martin mm-hmm. than he was with Todd Monken. Now, Todd Monken's up in the skybox there, and T. Martin's literally down on the sidelines. But that is a good question. Exactly what led to the rift? You know, like you have musical groups and all of a sudden you can't keep the band together, even though you're creating great music, the personality conflicts just eventually lead to the split. Something happened that led to the point where they were talking about getting rid of Todd Monken, who's a guy that's been interviewing for head coaching positions. We have time for another call?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go to where we've been waiting. Don of Columbia. Don, thanks for holding. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good afternoon, guys, and happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, Don. Appreciate that.
Hey, man, also, guys, I'm digging the YouTube channel. So, man, it's pretty dang cool. Yeah.
Man. So, usually, but, I guess they'll get the camera fixed. I like it when it's not facing my head, though. You know what I mean? Point it somewhere. Point that somewhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, let me throw something in here. Baltimore is a defensive town. You know, the Ravens have been defensive since they got here. So I'm leaning towards defense, and let me throw a name out that nobody's really talking about. What about Jim Schwartz? Jim Schwartz is a Baltimore guy, right?
Yeah.
He was a former head coach. Brown's defense is always good. Wherever he coaches, their defense is really good. So maybe we could bring him here and then maybe get a good OC, a creative OC, and then now you got the best of both, right? Because I think since we lost so many games in the fourth quarter after holding leads, we got to address that first, I think, because we just can't hold a lead. We got all those first-round picks, but we're just giving up leads. The DBs, no pass rush, of course, but we're giving up leads. So I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Don. And we were talking to Emmett Golden, covers the Browns for the AP a couple of days ago, notes from the North, asked him about whether or not Jim Schwartz could be a candidate for that vacancy. And he kind of sounded like the Haslams might not want to go in that direction. But hey, Jim Schwartz, Mount St. Joe, Baltimore guy, likes heavy metal, by the way, went to high school with my buddy Brian Fury. I would take Schwartzy in a heartbeat, but as a head coach, I mean, he's going to interview well because he's sharp as a tack, went to Georgetown collegiately. Is Schwartz a guy that will resonate with you, Nolan McGraw? He'd have to bring in an offensive guru.
Yeah, you know, I think I'd like him more just as the DC.
should be a lateral move, but maybe he'd be available because there's going to be a new coach in Cleveland.
Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com says the Browns are giving Schwartz an interview today, matter of fact. So he gets, whether that's a courtesy interview or actually serious intentions. I mean, if I'm Cleveland, I think I'd be serious intentions going in. But again, this does come back to the age thing. Schwartz is 59. That's not ancient. It's younger than Harbaugh was. I don't know. I think you look back on his past tenure as head coach, and he qualifies in that retread category where you just feel much more confident about his abilities as a coordinator than as a head coach. And at that point, especially when you're 59, you're not the hot young rising coordinator who is just chomping at the bit to get that first opportunity, then you feel a little more secure and settled into your role as a DC.
Well, he took the Lions to the playoffs when they were dreadful. Mm-hmm. I think it was young Stafford was the quarterback at the time, and Calvin Johnson and all that good stuff. And he almost kicked Jim Harbaugh's ass on the field after a game, won East Baltimore on it. But Jim Schwartz interviewing in Cleveland today, and we will follow that along with everyone else. If you're on the phones, hang tight. If you want to get in, now's your chance. 410-583-1057. Next 45 minutes is all about you. Mike Harmon joins at 1:30 for Fox Sports Radio. Fantasy football's done. I mean, we got daily fantasy coming up if you want to get into that, if you want to do something for the playoffs. So stick around. Anything else on your mind in your sporting world? John Harbaugh is gone. He's going to wait till next week to go through his interview process, but the Ravens have already reached out to some, are already interviewing some, according to reports. Do you want an offensive-minded coach or a defensive-minded coach? And then you fill your staff with needs that need to be filled. Steve Bisciotti, Eric DaCosta will hold a press conference next Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Tuesday the 13th. So Steve Bisciotti has not talked to local reporters since 2022. Damn. 4 years since we've heard from Biscuit talking about the state of his team. And for the first time in 18 years, talking about a coaching hire and firing.
So it sounds like we'll get the double dip unless they really move fast with the coaching hire, which between now and next Tuesday, I don't think there's any way they get something locked down. So we'll get the double dip. We'll get the rationale behind Harbaugh in its own press conference, and then we'll get the second one when they make the new hire.
Yeah, that's so great. There you go. That's going to be new stuff for us to talk about, too. So, Steve Bisciotti, Eric DaCosta, next Tuesday, the 13th, at 2 o'clock. And obviously, we look very much forward to that. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. If you're asking Steve Bisciotti a question, what are you asking him? If you're John Harbaugh, and Gary Myers tweeting out that Harbaugh's not interested in TV, he wants to get right back on the horse in a coaching realm. He's going to wait till next week, it seems, to get back into to start figuring out where he wants to interview for a potential head coaching job. And as a Ravens fan, been asking this question all morning now into the afternoon, would you like an offensive-minded coach? A Clint Kubiak, who hires a strong defensive coordinator, and an OC who's what? What's your offensive coordinator's responsibility then?
Well, it depends. If your head coach is going to call the plays himself, then maybe you could, well, T. Martin won't be here, but like, for example, you could have like a quarterback coach come in and then elevate to an OC, where since they're not calling plays, they can be that liaison between the play caller and the quarterback. But the responsibilities are obviously less.
Or would you like a defensive-minded coach like a Jim Schwartz, who would hire an offensive guru type like a Clint Kubiak, who was probably not going to be available in lateral moves? That's a guy that's taken a step up, but trying to find that level of guy.
And I'm fine, still Kubiak's still my number one, but like I said, I'm fine if the best combination here, because you want the best overall picture, right? If you take, say, your second choice or your third choice at head coach, but it means that you get your top choice as the corresponding coordinator, I'm all about that. Whatever paints the best picture overall. Like, you can't just go all in on your best head coach and then we get left by the wayside where, all right, they get Kubiak, but then, they don't get the best choice at DC. I'd much rather have the better overall product than just the best head coach.
All right, let's get out to the phones, hear what the people have to say. If we don't get you this hour, you're all about the 1 o'clock hour, so feel free to join us for NFL Lunch. Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, will preview the NFL playoffs with him, including his Chicago Bears having a home game against the Green Bay Packers. Last time the Bears were in the playoffs, was that double doink, if I'm not mistaken? It's been a couple of years since we've seen Chicago in the playoffs. Let's go to Brian in Owings Mills. Brian, what's up?
First of all, let me say happy birthday to you, Bob, man. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
Hugs, man. Air hug, brother.
Yeah,
air
I
hug.
Got you. I'm
watching
camera.
You on TV right now, yeah. Man, and you look every bit of good 37. So
there you go.
Happy 37.
37
to you,
pounds overweight is basically what it is.
and quick job. Man, you look like my old. I look at you more now. You look like my middle school guidance counselor, man. You even sound like him a little bit.
Well, hopefully he gave good
it's
advice.
So
I see a little Zachy. I see Zach Edey when I look at Nolan McGraw.
Don't call Sports Talk Radio. Don't.
Hey, man. I agree with my man Jason West Baltimore. He hit the nail on the head on what the Lamar story, but I don't agree with the head coach. Nah, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want a guy that's just an offensive coordinator that's never done this. Lamar is going on 30. He needs to win now. He needs experience. So the three guys I like Flores one. I like Steve Spagnuolo. I love Spag. And then Swartz. I love the Swartz. He's the man. And I love Brian Flores because his personality, it just, oh my God, his personality is like, Bill Parcells. He rides their ass. And I like that. You're not going to get over on him. And Swartz is another one, but he's funny too, though. The story on him real quick before I run. I think when he got fired from Detroit, and I forgot what team it was he was the coordinator for, and they beat him. And he told his players to pick him up, put him on their shoulders.
Oh, yeah. Little Buddy Ryan victory lap.
Yeah. Y'all have a good one, man. All happy
right.
birthday.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. Yeah, old Schwartzy. Remember Super Bowl 20, half the players covered Dicka, carried Dicka. The other half, the defense, carried Buddy Ryan. But so he wants more of a Flores from the Belichick tree, who's from the Parcells tree. So It all kind of trickles down. You know what? I go either way. He's hired the right guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want an offensive guy. It all depends on what mood we're in every 10 minutes, it seems. Because I'm listening to both sides.
I mean, I guess you can't go wrong. I mean, that above all else, we've moved beyond the era of NFL head coaches where you're even going to have a delegator. I mean, even if someone's going to come in, like let's say Clint Kubiak wasn't going to call plays, but he would still be hands-on with the offense. You know what I mean? Like we've seen that in recent years, some guys that were really good coordinators, they get the head coaching job and they stay, I'm not going to call the plays right from the get-go. I'm going to give the chance for a coordinator to do it. But then when the going got tough, they immediately stepped in. All right, I'm taking over. I'm calling the plays now. Dan Campbell did that.
Right. I'm looking, by the way, before we get to the top of the hour, at the McVay coaching staff. Chris Shula's getting a lot of buzz, and reading The Sun this morning, Brian Wacker, I believe, wrote it, linked to the Ravens. I mean, forget about the Don Shula ties to the Charm City. And the offensive coordinator is Mike LaFleur, who's 87. He's 38 years old. So, and we saw their offense. He's been the OC there for 2 years. Now, McVay probably does most of the heavy lifting, right, in the play calling in that regard.
The creativity standpoint, yeah.
But still, I mean, you saw this Rams offense this year with Nacua and Davante Adams, double-digit touchdowns, Kyron Williams, Blake Corum, when he was called upon to run the ball, Higbee. I mean, talent helps, but they can be real, real, real explosive. And the Ravens are just a year removed from being that team.
Well, that's why I think it has to be personality driven. Like if you're going to be obsessed with results, right, where you look at, oh, look at what the Rams offense did. Well, yeah, there's a lot of talent there. You know, the conversation should be more, how did they elevate the talent around them compared to what that talent was doing prior to that coach getting there? And then still, I think it should be personality above all else, because you've got the talent here. You've got the MVP quarterback. You've got the future Hall of Fame running back. You know, you're not looking to bring like a guy in where he's got to revamp the entire offense and get it out of the basement. You know, I think it's more of a personality thing. How do we get the right guy that meshes with the talent that's already here?
By the way, Mike LaFleur is Matt LaFleur's younger brother. Maybe okay. Matt LaFleur.
I think that'd be quite the coincidence to have two LaFleurs. I would hope.
Hey, you know, it's not like Smith is the last name, but you know, I don't think it's that unique. We'll come back, or ununique. We'll come back, take your phone calls, NFL Lunch, 410-583-1057. There is a coaching change. Another head coach lost his job today in the NFL. If you missed the news, we'll share that with you. Mike Harmon previews the NFL playoffs with us, including his Chicago Bears back in the playoffs for the first time in a few years with Caleb Williams. Having a breakout sophomore's eight, brought in an offensive minded head coach, Ben Johnson, out of Detroit. And whose offensive coordinator just got fired? Detroit, after 1 year, and the guy that left, he went to Chicago, and Caleb Williams became the first Bear to ever throw for 4,000 yards.